On this episode of Baseball Barbacast, we react to the news involving the Mets' efforts to re-sign Edwin Diaz. How badly did Edwin Diaz want to stay? We talk about Scott Boras. Oh my goodness, did Scott Boras say some combinations of words on Tuesday? And we give you the latest update to the Scobo, the Scott Boras scoreboard. We go around the league about talking about some transactions that did occur. Couple more relievers, couple more pitchers, and then, of course, the draft lottery. We love the draft lottery. Who doesn't? All that and more on this episode of Baseball Barbacast.
Jordan Schusterman here at the Winter Meetings in Orlando, and if you're tuning into this podcast and wondering, hey, are they going to talk about Pete Alonso signing with the Orioles for 5 years and $155 million? The answer is no. We're going to talk about that later this week, as that news broke after we recorded on Wednesday morning. So you can look forward to that later this week on Baseball Barbacast. But just letting you know, we are aware. Pete is an O. Let's talk about it later this week. Enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to Baseball Barbacast, the only baseball podcast in the world that liked the offseason better before cell phones. I'm Jake Mintz. That's Jordan Schusterman. And back in the day, when I was growing up, the winter meetings existed because it was how people communicate with one another. You know, nowadays, these front office kids are just on their phones.
It's true. But we are guilty of that as well. I think we've done a good amount of face-to-face communication. You know, I don't think we've necessarily been hiding in our rooms only texting people. You know, we've run up here to maybe grab a cheaper adult beverage than what is available downstairs and or record this podcast. That's been nice to be able to retreat to our respective hotel rooms for such matters. But for the most part, we've been down there. You know, we're
in the mix.
We're talking to other human beings. It's nice. And this is we're recording this on Wednesday morning, December 10th, the final official day of these here 2025 winter meetings in Orlando, Florida. We'll have the Rule 5 draft later today, but that's not that exciting for anyone that's not me. So we are going to talk about a few other things as we wrap up the winter meetings. That includes some news off of the big news yesterday, and that is going to be our opener.
Edwin Diaz, out the door. That we knew. And when we speculated about his departure, we were missing a key piece of the puzzle, which was how interested were the Mets in retaining his services? We now have proof in the pudding that they were indeed very interested and willing to make a significant financial commitment. 366 with the deferrals, ends up getting 369. But based upon the reporting, the tone of that reporting, it just kind of seems like Edwin Diaz wanted to leave.
Well, and how you phrase that, yes, the numbers look comparable, so it's a significant commitment. But you could also argue that, well, if the Mets really cared, then they would have just given him the fourth or fifth year that he was clearly seeking. They were not interested in that. But if you do look at the deals as very similar, maybe it's not as similar with the deferrals, but either way, this is close enough to where, yes, I think we already basically did this speculation because I think we knew that when we're talking about a deal of this size, it probably wasn't going to be a massive difference in what they were willing to pay. But this is a pretty strong piece of evidence that Edwin was maybe ready to move on. There was some reporting about, well, one nugget we didn't mention at all, or I certainly didn't even think about because he wasn't really relevant, is that the Dodgers had his brother, Alexis Diaz, very briefly this past year. I don't think he's still in the org.
No, he's a free agent.
Although maybe he, okay, yeah. So, but that Alexis Diaz had a positive experience with the Dodgers and maybe he said that, but how much, you know, sway does that have? There's, of course, plenty of other reasons you would want to join the Dodgers. But that's something. And then maybe some speculation about some Mets coaching changes and how much that would maybe impact his willingness to stick around. I don't know how much that's, you know, to be believed. So, but that is a change that has occurred in New York that a pitcher who has been there for a long time would very conceivably have opinions about.
Also, it's funny, right? Because if you, Jeremy Hefner, who was the Mets pitching coach, was presumably let go in part, not in part, but because of how the staff kind of fell apart down the second half. Edwin Diaz is like, I'm fine. Like,
he wasn't the problem.
Like, whatever Jeremy Hefner was telling him was working. Right. And so in his mind, it's like, that's who I wanted around. Now, Jeff Passan mentioned this on ESPN, that I think the bigger issue, at least from Diaz's perspective, seems to have been that there was not great communication from the Mets after they signed Devin Williams. Mm,
yeah.
And that, let me just say, someone we have interacted with baseball players quite a bit, not a humble brat. These individuals care about that type of thing, right? About the heads up, about being clear, about being forthcoming. And if to any extent Diaz felt like there was a level of either misdirection or obfuscation or whatever, you can understand how that might influence his decision making.
And it's also, we just did this, a version of this, when the Astros signed Josh Hader and they had Ryan Pressly in that role for so long. And Ryan Pressly was like, you know, they pretended like it was all fine. Now, the difference then is that no one besides Ryan Pressly was like
Ryan
Josh Hader
Pressly
was clearly
should
better.
Be the closer.
Yeah. Yeah. And so in that case, you could understand, because of Ryan Presley's status and what he had meant to Houston, that like, I understand his perspective and the human dynamics there. In this case, while we've spent plenty of time talking about why you could believe that Devin Williams can get back to being an elite reliever, I think most people agree that Edwin Diaz is a better reliever. And so because of that, you can certainly imagine Edwin Diaz in his position being like, yeah, I got to at least be in the loop here.
But
I'm
going to play Mets advocate.
Sure.
Edwin, you opted out.
Absolutely. I think
you're
that's
not
also
on the team
take.
Anymore.
Right.
Like,
right.
Yes, you were there long enough and maybe you feel like the Mets owe you something. But like, this business, dude. Right. And however, the upshot and the outcome is that the Mets are the ones looking a little bit silly.
Yes.
And I think the overwhelming, one of the, like, the main themes of yesterday here at the winter meetings was a lot of people being like, David Stearns, like, hope he knows what he's doing. Because
it's just like,
when he arrived in Queens, it was Wonder Boy stuff. Mm-hmm. It was like, here's this young, sharp baseball exec that Steve Cohen has been waiting for that is going to turn the Mets into Dodgers East, right? And I think that he has done a lot of good. I think their infrastructure is awesome. I think that their player dev has gotten way better. But his popularity rating within the fan base is not high right now. And we have now reached a point that, like, is David Stearns getting too cute, right? Should he just be spending the money that his owner has? You're not with the Brewers anymore. Andrew Friedman, when he went from Tampa to LA, took him some time to learn that, right? It was like, you're operating under these different circumstances. Now, look, yes, they gave Juan Soto the Brinks truck last year. I understand that. Do I still think David Stearns is like a elite baseball executive? Yes, obviously I do. But the chronology of these transactions has, right now on December 10th, put that team in an odd spot. Now, you can't evaluate the offseason. We say this all the time. You can't evaluate it until opening day when you see the totality of the plan. We don't know how the cards are going to fall. But right now, I think it is fair for Mets fans to feel like a little, not worried, but tentative.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. And we already started to have the conversations that you're sort of alluding to, the bigger picture David Stearns discourse. But for me, it's much more simple and much more just like, okay, right here, right now. Not that we are judging the entire offseason, but you just look at what is now available and what is still all the problems with this roster. And you just ask, what is the path from here to opening day? that you can imagine based both on what's available and how they have been willing to act that results in Mets fans being fired up about the roster. It's not impossible. There are still a lot of good players out there, but it's every time another, like this is a big, the first big move where it's like, okay, now it's harder to envision it. And so, you know, that's why Stearns gets paid the big bucks. It's time to find a way to turn it into a positive offseason. So this will be, we'll see what happens there. So what that means for what they're willing to pay Robert Suarez, if they have any amount of interest in that, I don't know. Let alone if they would be willing to spend any money on a Framber Valdez, on a Tatsuya Imai, et cetera, et cetera. We're going to find out soon. But yeah, it's just like thinking about what it's now going to take to kind of more than salvage. We're not even talking about salvage. Like, you're the Mets. You should be a team that's near the top of the offseason winners and losers, you know, towards
go bully
the,
people.
You know, the positive side. Yeah.
Right.
You have that opportunity.
Go bully people. Yeah. Speaking of bullying people, no, I'm kidding. let's bully Scott Boras. No, I'm the Scobo. It is time.
All right. So we needed to kind of like collect ourselves before we did this in full yesterday. Before we add some wins, draws, and losses to the Scott Boras scoreboard, let's just kind of set the stage again, right? So yesterday afternoon, when the timing of the Kyle Schwarber back to the Phillies and then Edwin Diaz to the Dodgers, that news broke as Scott Boras was delivering his annual winter meetings address. much speculation about whether that was on purpose from the respective agencies that are not Scott Boras, who represent Kyle Schwarber, that is Excel, and represent Edwin Diaz, Wasserman. I mean, it sure doesn't seem like an accident.
Well, let's be honest.
It's not like the degree of overshadowing Scott Boras, like it, not really. It just looked funny. You know, it's,
This is conspiracy theory brain. The two only significant transactions of the winter meetings were both reported in the 25-minute span that Scott Boras is talking to the media. Mm-hmm. If I'm supposed to believe that that's a coincidence, then I think I'm kind of a mark, right?
Totally fair. But listen, Scott, it's not like people all left. Everyone still listened to Scott. He did then the Dylan Cease press conference. So the point is, we've got plenty of Boras material. However, we do have to put the fact that this stuff broke during his presser on the scoreboard in and of itself. And I do think that while we did not all forget that Scott Boras exists, I do think that this is still considered an L on the Scobo to have these other top clients from other agencies report their big moves.
Couldn't agree more. That is one L. That takes him to 4-1-5 this winter. We were on the outskirts, on the exurbs of this enormous scrum that he had. And we were talking to Shai Davidi, our friend who covers the Blue Jays. And we were like, you know, it'd be so funny if they announced Schwarber right now. If they announced a huge move and then like the other agent just appeared and everyone scurried over there.
That's
and then
the thing it, like, we didn't get.
Kind of happened.
That's the part we didn't. We didn't get Casey Close like coming out of the from the back like, hey, come talk to me. But you know what? That's fine, because that meant that Scott Boras got to give us his latest round of stand-up comedy, puns, alliteration, and in this case, just some wordplay that must be heard to be believed. As always, I will read these quotes. Most of these are courtesy of the SNY Twitter account, which posts the clips. And the clips are important, too, because I do recommend going back and watching these, because sometimes the delivery can play an impact here. But we're just going to work off of the words themselves. So I'm going to trust the transcriptions here from SNY. And then from, I believe, I've got the Chris Kirshner also has one. And then, all right. Shall I begin? Okay. We begin. Scott Boras on Zach Gallen. For Zach, it's Cy quality, never crude, always refined. When you pull up to the pitching pump, a gallon is always premium. He's exactly a rotation fit, no doubt.
Nope. 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 You can't be making up phrase pitching pump. No one pulls up to the pitching pump.
Pull up to the pitching pump.
Do you ever pull up to the pitching pump? No. No one has ever pulled up to the pitching pump.
Also, you know what would be interesting, and maybe he'll use this more if he wants to keep going down the like gallon, gas, whatever. It'll be interesting if like where he signs, because again, gas does not cost the same everywhere. And so, you know, it's possible that if he signs in LA or he signs.
Well, that's why this is disappointing, is that there's a lot in the gallon area to make jokes about. But because of who Zach Gallen is as a pitcher, parentheses, not reliant on gas.
That's also true. That's also true. Yeah. But it's like, it's, but it's also confusing because he's, it's just the Gallen. His name's Gallen. It's more about the size, you know,
Gallen is not
as
gas
much as the gas. Right.
Specific.
But he seems to be kind of hinting at that. But no, it's true. All right. Moving on. Tatsuya Imai, famously, when we did our latest update, he had something about how he leaves an indelible mark on you, kind of like a tattoo. Like tattoo. Brutal. So here's, we've got more Imai content. Quote, you have a 27-year-old pitcher who throws 98-99. Teams look at that and say, believe me, Imai, wildest dreams. I never expected someone to be available like that. My wildest dreams. Jake Mintz, what do you got? This is very simple. And I think if we're comparing it to the previous, before, remember, it was Imai, oh my, and then Tatsuya. I think this is better than the previous one. I think this is closer to a draw, but I appreciate the simplicity of it because some of these other ones we're about to get to are just troublingly complex.
A close loss.
Okay.
Is still a loss.
You know what? That's fine. My wildest dreams loss. We move forward. Ranger Suarez, last time at the GM meeting, Scott Boras spoke about how he was the Lone Ranger. It was talking about his postseason. He was really leaning on his postseason accolades.
Sure.
Which, again, very impressive. He's got like an ERA of like 1.5 in 40 innings. So he went back to the talking about his Ranger Suarez postseason. He says, quote, in the postseason, when you add a Suarez, everyone knows that you're armed and rangerous. Armed and rangerous is a fat dub for us.
Yep.
I think this one like made me giggle more than a lot of the other ones when I saw them.
It also makes me think of Kesha's 2010 hit, We Are Who We Are, hot and rangerous.
Also, another one is like armed, right? Is nice, even if you know he doesn't throw that hard. But I think it's good. Ranger, armed and dangerous. We're in. Win, armed and dangerous. All right, moving on. Alex Bregman. Once again, always wanting to make sure we know that Alex Bregman. What does he do? He goes to the postseason. That's what he does. You have Alex Bregman on your team, you're probably going to the playoffs. Quote. In October, it's Alex in Wonderland. It's a regularly scheduled event, no doubt. Okay, so Alice in Wonderland, and which is not, I mean, that's kind of good. And then regularly.
You know,
coming off of Brexit last time. I don't know. I kind of like this one. It's not, it's a little clunky. I don't think this is a loss. I'm not sure it's a, this is the closest one to a draw for me. I think
let's give it a draw. Alex in Wonderland is fine. Like, I think regularly one of the strong.
Yeah, regularly scheduled. One of the problems is that, like, some of his, he's trying to cram multiple different jokes, references, wordplay into one. They don't actually go together.
Sure.
And I think that's this one. He kind
of, ketchup on ice
like,
cream.
He could have saved. This is one where it's like, if Bregman is still on them, I mean, I don't know. Again, you know, it's like, is Boris going to talk publicly again anytime soon? I don't know. But, you know,
he's going to go he do could the have comedy seller. This.
Right. right. He could have saved one of these for, you know, next time Alex Bregman opts out. I think we give this a draw.
Draw.
Alex in Wonderland, regularly scheduled event. Okay. Let's do Tarek Skubal here. Actually, no, let's do this Pete Alonso one, because this one, this one's tough. Quote, Pete lives in Tampa. It's rather warm there. The polar vortex of last year has kind of thawed. That prior bear market is exhausted. Now we have the running of the bulls in Tampalooza. All right, so lots of process here.
So I want to, can we focus on the end?
Yeah, this is where we have some trouble.
So what he's trying to do, my dear friends, is a running of the bulls in Pamplona thing. Now, if he had just said Pamplona, I'm willing to engage with the concept. But to also do like a Palooza thing.
Is that what you think this is?
Because
I don't even.
Has to.
Yeah, but that doesn't make any sense either. I think he like just misremembered what Pamplona. Like, I think he just
think
said
that the name
wrong,
of the Spanish town is Pamplona.
I don't know, but I think that makes more sense than what you're explaining. But this one's really tough. And again, like he was kind of cooking before Tampalooza. But I just don't, unless we're totally whiffing on this. And there was one last time that we completely misunderstood that I think
which
someone
is,
explained to us.
But if the audience doesn't get your material, that's on you.
It's an L.
This one makes Scott Boras a Pamplooza.
Yes. Amen.
Also,
really strange. Yeah.
Is Pete's Market really that different? I guess we'll see.
And I think it is, but he's going to have to go and prove that. We will see. All right, two more here. Let's do another Tarek Skubal one. Quote, Skubal is metrically dominant both in advanced and traditional measures. He's truly a saber-proof tiger. If you want to look at the tail of the tiger without Scoobs, they're a mystery machine. This is a huge win for me.
Huge.
I think this one, so he keeps going back to
Scooby-Doo. Love Scooby-Doo.
But saber-proof tiger is
unreal.
So good.
Bar.
Like, so good. Okay, we got
what is
saber metrics. That's what he's going to, but also saber-tooth, saber-proof. He's a tiger. Like, hits every note. He set it up perfectly. He alley-ed a oop to himself and just slammed it down. And then he gave us more Scooby-Doo. But I think that what's most interesting about the Tigers Skubal stuff or from Boris is like all of his Skubal ones so far are like dunking on the Tigers, which is not always what occurs in these sessions. Yes, sometimes he's like, well, that team, he kind of did it with the Red Sox and Bregman. He'd be like, right, like, man, they'd really be, you know, stupid and irrelevant if they didn't bring Bregman back. But this one, like, he really is digging on the Tigers pretty hard.
Saber-proof,
and it's pretty funny.
Tiger is just a reminder that we are working with a generational talent, right? And that when you're pumping out this much material, you're going to have some stinkers, right? If you're releasing an album a year, not every record is going to hit. But when you can reach into your bag and you can pull out a saber-proof tiger, it lets everybody know that you're alive and well, and that rumors of your demise were undeniably premature.
So good. All right, we come to the finish. So win. Just one win, but win. All right, we come to the grand finale. And there might have been a couple others, so sorry if I missed it, but this one is special, folks. Buckle up. Scott Boras on Cody Bellinger's market. Quote, and listen carefully, because what we're going to get here is explaining the variety of teams that are interested in Cody Bellinger. Here we go. Quote, it's not for me to judge, but great players see red if they have a big bat yanked out of their lineup. Okay. He's basically saying if Judge sees Bellinger yanked out of his lineup, he's going to see that Cody Bellinger is on the Reds. Okay. Plenty more to come. Okay. Next. Continue. Quote, I haven't met a team that dodges a five-tool player to fill PHIL.
Oh, I haven't met a team that dodges a five-tool player. What about the Dodges who dodged this exact player?
Well, they might be back. It sounds like they're back interested. They're interested again. He continues, to fill PHIL, the center field need is a giant step towards the playoffs. North and South outfielders that fly with power, they're rare birds. So I don't know if the Toronto reference there is North or if it's birds, but you can interpret that as you may. Birds, Orioles, Cardinals? Probably not. In the offseason, there's a lot of startup to organizations, and for that reason, there's a lot of angel investors that are looking for very versatile outfielders. And then he's like, so other than that, Belly doesn't have much interest. This is, I almost feel like the premise sucks. Of this. So, okay.
This sucks.
Why does it suck?
Just feels wrong. Like, you're just naming the baseball teams.
No.
This is the one, more than any he's ever done, that feels like it's ChatGPT.
Okay, that's a great point. That actually right there alone convinces me for it to be a loss. I was going to give it a draw for the standpoint of, like, he's trying new things. Now, I think what you just said is a really strong accusation. But as we kind of said with the alliteration one with Pete last time, it was like, you know what? We're seeing something new and we're committing to a bit. That is what this is. But what you just said, I'm now very worried that all of this is an AI fraud. And that would really bum me out.
I don't think that's the case.
Okay, yeah.
And I don't even think that this is AI, but it smells like it. And if it smells like it, that's a problem, right? Like, we shouldn't even, like, you're generational, Scobo. Like, don't go down this path. And I didn't learn anything about Cody Bellinger, right? Now, the best outcome here is that he signs with a team that was not listed.
Which, I was going to say, this one is one we are going to refer back to, because this really does make it seem like Cody Bellinger's about to make a lot of money. And if some amount of bidding war between all these teams takes place and Cody Bellinger gets like $200 million, like, we'll come back to this. Like, you know what? You were right. Judge is seeing red. But it sounds like we're giving this a loss.
Yes.
Okay. So with that in mind, we have an updated scoreboard. What is the new Scobo? We have, I believe, given him five more losses That is the DS and Schwarber news coming out during his press conference. That is the Zach Gallen pitching pump. Ugh. Be my wildest dreams. Whatever Tamplooza is with Pete Alonso. And then referencing all the teams that are interested in Cody Bellinger. Those are our five losses. We are giving Alex in Wonderland and regularly scheduled event a draw. And we are giving Armed and Rangerous and Saber-Proof Tiger a fat dubski. So that means...
Welcome back to the part where we talk about the most important agent in the game doing stand-up comedy. That brings his record. He entered the winter meetings at 4-1-4.
Mm-hmm.
This sends him tumbling under 500. Scott Boras is now 6-2-9.
It's a lot of losses, but he can make up some ground here if his clients start to sign. You know, could we have graded him for something he said at the Dylan Cease press conference? Maybe. It was pretty straightforward stuff. He wasn't really making any jokes. So
6-2-9 is 20 points.
Yep.
6 times 3 is 18. 2 draws. That would put him tied for 13th in the Premier League with Bournemouth. So Scott Boras is Bournemouth. Thank you for listening to this new edition of Scobo Scobo. We will now take a break and do the end of the podcast. Welcome back to Baseball Barbacast. Let's go around the league. So these winter meetings, pretty slow, not going to lie. Not just on the top end of the market, but on the bottom end, right? We got the Edwin Diaz signing. We got the Kyle Schwarber signing. But there really wasn't a steady flow of smaller deals that you often see. We got Steven Matz the other day. We talked about that. We got Mike Soroka. But there were really only two other things. And that was the Tigers signing Kyle Finnegan for 2 years and $19 million. And the Pirates signing Gregory Soto for 1 year, $7.5 million. I like to start with Kyle Finnegan just because Finnegan getting paid at all is awesome. This is not someone who debuted until he was 28 years old. He was never big prospect, pitched in winter ball, wasn't great with the Nats, a little shaky at first, and just became a player that gets $19 million. Even though the Nats were pitching him every single day on a bad team. What does this mean for the Detroit Tigers? I need more from them than this. Jury's still out. I'm more concerned about them on the offensive side of the ball. I think that their processes, they know how to get outs. And that's Scooble, yes. But we saw this in October, right? They were just throwing people out there against the Mariners and they were getting outs. Where at no point did I ever feel intimidated by the Tigers lineup, except for Kerry Carpenter, against any of the Mariners' best arms. And so, good. Kyle Finnegan helpful. What's next?
Yep. They have to, they're definitely a team, I think, as the offseason drags along. I mean, the AL Central is just its own thing. So, but Kyle Finnegan was very good. And then he got better when he went to Detroit. So we'll see if he can, lead on that splitter even more and have more swing and miss success in the coming years with Detroit. Pirates signed Gregory Soto as the relief market keeps moving. Hard-throwing left-hander who's kind of bounced around a few teams recently. I've always really liked this guy. Always kind of underperformed what I think his raw talent is. The Pirates were a team that were, as we know, pushed for Schwarber. I know we talked about Diaz earlier. We didn't really talk about some of the reporting about who else was coming for Kyle Schwarber. We talked about the Pirates. The Reds, of course, expected because of Kyle Schwarber's ties. The Orioles, who reportedly offered the same deal to Kyle Schwarber. All of that is interesting, and we can come back to that as those teams make other moves. But the Pirates, I think now it's like, okay, how much money, if you're willing to spend it on Kyle Schwarber, like, does that mean you're going to spend $100 million some other way this winter? Probably not. Did they need Gregory Soto? They really did not have a left-handed reliever. So that's why they have Gregory Soto now. They do have a lot of good pitchers, obviously, in the rotation, but certainly even in the bullpen still, they have some arms that I really like. But a left-hander is really not one of the ones that they had, and there are really not that many left-handed relievers available this offseason. And Gregory Soto is one of the best of them. So pretty straightforward there, but obviously the Pirates, we are focused more on the lineup. I think they are well aware that that is what is most important. One more transaction before we talk about the draft lottery and say goodbye. The Angels acquire Vaughn Grissom. Mm. Vaughn Grissom, infamously acquired by the Red Sox, 1-for-1 for Chris Sale. Total catastrophe. Vaughn Grissom, who had a real run as a prospect that was really coming, grabbing people's attention in Atlanta, even though he wasn't like a huge draft pick. He came on really quickly in the minor leagues, made his debut, had some success. It just never worked in Boston. And honestly, even if he was playing pretty well, it's kind of hard to see where he was going to fit in to begin at all in Boston. So he moves on and goes to the Angels, where they continue to, of course, collect players who were famous once. So he'll at least have the opportunity to prove he can be a major leaguer in Anaheim. Red Sox acquire outfield prospect Isaiah Jackson, who actually is kind of good. Finally, we had the MLB draft lottery, the fourth ever MLB draft lottery. One of our favorite events, as MLB has introduced an element of randomness and unpredictability to the draft order. No longer can you just lose 120 games and pick first. You might not have that opportunity. In fact, you might not even be able to be in the lottery if you're the Colorado Rockies and you've already picked in the lottery for 2 years. You don't get to do it 3 years in a row, no matter how many games you lose. So the White Sox entered the lottery with the best chances of getting the number one pick, and that is exactly what happened, as for the first time since they took Harold Baines many, many, many moons ago. Oh, they might have had one more first overall pick, but it'll be Harold Baines.
Who will be Harold Baines?
Well, no, I'm sorry.
Drafting Harold Baines.
No, but Harold Baines was there. Harold Baines was there as the White Sox representative to give the White Sox luck, be like, hey, we're going to pick first overall. And that's exactly what's going on. So congratulations to the White Sox, their highest pick in a very, very long time.
I don't think this has anything to do with Harold Baines. I think it has everything to do with baseball Pope, right? If the Pope is a White Sox fan and the lottery is random choice, mm-hmm. I don't understand. You have to draw a connection, right?
Yes.
Between this outcome and baseball Pope. If baseball Pope was, say, a Twins fan and not a White Sox fan, I think the Twins get the first pick. I think that's obvious.
This is obviously why, Justin Ishbia? Justin Ishbia, man. He picked the White Sox, not the Twins. Smart guy. Rich guy. Harold Baines, congratulations, White Sox number one. And then the Rays, Giants, and Royals leap up the draft board. The Royals jumping to 6 after finishing above 500. That's pretty cool. Giants jumping all the way to 4. And then the Rays getting the second pick, their highest selection since drafting Tim Beckham and David Price in consecutive years with the number one overall pick in 07 and 08. So we will see what the Rays do. At the top there, of course, this is the finale to our hashtag rock bottom experience. The teams trying to lose as many games get the best draft lottery position in order to have the opportunity to draft UCLA shortstop Rock Chalowski, who is considered one of the better position player prospects that we've had come out of the draft in a very long time. He is a shortstop who is a really, really good shortstop, and the dude can hit. He could have been a first round pick out of high school. He was like, you know what? You know what's better than being a first round pick out of high school? It's being the first pick out of college. And it sure looks like Rock Chalowski is training in that way. And we have a long time before we get there in July next year. But this will be fun to see if he can actually hold it and go wire to wire here. Because we haven't really had someone anymore like that. Yeah, it really doesn't. And so there are some other good players at the top. Grady Emerson, high school shortstop from Texas, is some people think Grady Emerson's on Rock's level. I don't know. Feels like the White Sox are a team that's probably going to play this pretty straight. We'll see how Rock does in Big Ten competition, which he opens up in Columbus, Ohio, in the first week of March. I will be there. I will be cold, and I will be excited to watch Rock Chalowski. Jake Mintz, you are heading home today. I am going to go enjoy the Rule 5 draft.
And, I bet you
stick
are.
Around for another night. We will see what other news we get. We will have another podcast coming this week. As of now, that will be on Friday. Maybe there is some news that gets us on the microphones before then. But otherwise, thank you to Andrew Hartz and Ingrid Rosas for producing. As always, we appreciate it. If you listened to the show and you told us that this week in Orlando, thank you. We appreciate it. It is very cool to know that whether you are a fellow media member or fan or a person that works for a team or just a nice person who came to tell us that they like the podcast, it means a lot. We appreciate it. We have fun with this, and it's cool that we get to keep doing it.
I got a text from my mom yesterday, Jordan. I didn't tell you this. Out of the blue. I'm listening to your Winter Meetings pod, and I actually teared up realizing how much you guys created your own dream life.
Wow. Why suddenly now? I mean, that's very sweet. Jake's mom. We love Jake's mom.
That's what I said.
Yeah. But it's interesting that of all the...
I was like, Mom, I was at game 7 of the best World Series ever a month and a half ago. You know,
that was a lot more exciting, but no, it's very cool. So thank you all for listening. We will talk to you again at some point this week. Goodbye.